Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
A new week starts right here, right now on Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. A week to recap the second to last weekend of this National Football League regular season. Week 17 on both a Saturday and a Sunday, with all of the implications and importance for the NFL playoff calendar and that postseason picture around the National Football League. We had games on Saturday, games on Sunday. Their meaning, their significance, what is at stake entering the regular season finale weekend. Scott, that is our task today on FFC.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, right? Last week we have games on Wednesday, Christmas Day, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I do think we set the record for most days in which we've had an NFL game in 1 week. And yet this week, they're all on Sunday. So we go from euphoria last week to just the Sunday, because they don't want to play a Thursday night game or a Monday night game because they think those teams would have a disadvantage heading into the playoffs. Meanwhile, they could have been stuck a Thursday dead game. I mean, who would watch it? No one probably, but it's the NFL. You put a Saints, New York Jets game on this week, I'm sure someone would watch it on a Thursday night. Why not? But we have them all on Sunday.
Short week games begin on week number 2. Why not end it out in week number 18? But the drama needs to be there for all of those divisional matchups in the regular season finale weekend and what is at stake. That includes 2 games on Saturday in the AFC North that will ultimately dictate what happens in the division as well. We'll talk about everything that leads into our final week of this 2024 National Football League regular season by looking back on week 17. Scott, let's go to Sunday and everything that we saw, including Sunday Night Football, a matchup of 2 rookie quarterbacks facing off with huge importance for that playoff picture. The Commanders needing a win to clinch a playoff berth. The Falcons needing a win to stay in control of the NFC South. And it was a great game that came down to the final minutes and seconds of regulation and even into overtime. The Commanders victorious, winning 30-24 in OT, covering as a 3.5-point home favorite, going over a total of 46.5. It was Jaden Daniels connecting with his tight end Zach Ertz from just a few yards out on the only possession of overtime to win it for Washington. Daniels has been clutch throughout this season, Scott, and he was once again to clinch a playoff berth for the Commanders.
Yeah, I still don't like that playoff format, Ben. I really don't. I just don't think it's fair that Washington gets the ball and Atlanta doesn't. Whether Washington scores a touchdown or a field goal, it doesn't matter. To me, both teams should have possession of the football in overtime. And in the case of last night, or case of Sunday night, Washington scores a touchdown. All right, when Atlanta gets the ball, you tell them if you score a touchdown, you got to go for 2. Simple as that. But just give each team an opportunity. Is there an advantage to having the ball after the other team scores? Yeah, because now you got 4 downs for sure to get a first down. for Atlanta versus Washington maybe punting. But I just don't think it's fair. I don't say this too often. I actually think the college football setup is a little bit better than the NFL when it comes to this stuff. The only case in point was Sunday night, Atlanta actually scored at the end. So if you just would have continued the game, which is another proposal, well, then Washington would have gotten the ball had you got into overtime, just like if you were switching third quarter into fourth quarter. You know, it was their turn to get the football, so it's not like they scored last and got the ball. But it just doesn't seem fair for one team to get the football in overtime.
Yeah, and the Commanders really in command in the second half. They trailed by 10 at the break, 17-7. Scott, they dominated both ball control, time of possession, and really all the offensive stats in that second half, especially in the third quarter. Washington took a 24-17 lead, and in his second ever career NFL start, what would Michael Penix Jr. do in that big spot in response? He finds Kyle Pitts with just under 2 minutes remaining in regulation to tie the game at 24 apiece. So you might be thinking, okay, that's how we got to overtime. Nope, the Commanders got the ball back, quickly went three and out. Atlanta gets the ball again at the end of regulation, starts driving down the field quickly, and with two timeouts in the pocket, Raheem Morris decides to not even call one as the Falcons were marching into Washington territory. It wasted so much time off the clock. Eventually, the Falcons had to settle for a 56-yarder that could have won the game with their backup kicker and Riley Patterson, who does not have a very long leg. And Scott, that field goal attempt came up woefully short. Raheem Morris was asked after the game, why did he not call a timeout after the long completion with about 35 ticks remaining in regulation? He said, probably could have done that. We expected the offense to be a little bit more efficient in the operation of getting off the next play. But Scott, it was a confounding move by Raheem Morris that probably cost his team multiple extra seconds and the ability to drive the football even further down the field, especially with a kicker in Riley Patterson that is not Young Wei Koo and does not have the ability to hit 50-plus yard field goals as it can be a routine for others.
Yeah, especially since they had two timeouts, Ben. Like, I could see if maybe you only have one and you're just saying to yourself, I got to hold this till the very, very, very end because you never know where, you know. But he had two. I joke about it, but I really don't. I've been saying this for years in all my radio shows that I've done. $10,000, folks, that's all I charge. You give me $10,000 a game, I guarantee you that I will get you one more win than what you would have gotten had you not had someone like myself or you, Ben, or any other person, you know, running these games. And here's how I explain it. And I really do think this is the answer. Why are so many of these head coaches so dumb when it comes to game minutiae? Well, they're not watching games like you and I. You watch all these NFL games. That's 10 to 15 games a week. You're watching 10 to 15 college games. You're watching them from start to finish, basically, and mostly towards the end. NFL head coaches, and college to a certain extent, they're not watching games like we are. They're watching game films, but they're not watching last 2-3 minutes of games and sequences, last 5 minutes, when you call time. So they don't know the game minutia like the average better or fan does. I really do believe that the common fan is smarter when it comes to game minutia because we see it week after week after week of just screwing up the clock. It's just, you know, listen, it costs people their jobs. It probably won't cost Raheem his job, but it cost him a win, you know, that's for sure, or a chance for it anyway.
Might cost them a playoff spot and a divisional championship as well. The Commanders have covered in now 10 of 11 wins this year. Washington in pole position to be the sixth seed in the NFC playoff picture, as we will detail throughout the show. That's a very important number right now where the playoff picture stands around the NFC. Scott, because of the Falcons' loss, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now in the driver's seat once again to win the NFC South. The Bucs were at home as a 9.5-point favorite against the Panthers on Sunday. Absolutely routed Carolina, 48-14, the victory for Baker and the Bucs, over 47.5, which was the pregame total by themselves. Baker Mayfield, 359 yards, 5 touchdowns, 551 yards of total offense for Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers now need just a win at home against the Saints in Week 18 to claim the NFC South for a fourth consecutive season.
Yeah, that's amazing. And after watching the Saints play these last couple of weeks, including Sunday against the Raiders, no less, at home, boy, it's hard to imagine Tampa Bay not winning that football game, right? That's why I thought maybe, just maybe, Atlanta would have gone for two after they scored that late touchdown that ended up tying it because they went for one. But, yeah, I mean, listen, it was in Atlanta. Now you ask yourself, Ben, you know, the bigger picture, did they go to Michael Penix too soon or too late, rather? They did win that last game with Kirk Cousins. It wasn't impressive, but they did win that one. So I don't know if you could necessarily say that, but maybe bigger picture, they won the war because they seemingly have a quarterback. Not that he was great, but you know, maybe that's the bigger picture for the Atlanta Falcons.
Did throw that game-tying touchdown pass to Kyle Pitts, the first of his NFL career to extend that game into OT. More on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He is Scott, I am Ben. We continue to recap Week 17 around the National Football League and all that it means for the playoff picture in the NFL and, of course, what is still at stake entering Week 18 in the regular season finale. Scott, marquee matchup of the Sunday afternoon slate, that was the Vikings hosting the Packers. A huge game for both teams with huge implications for the NFC North, the number one overall seed in the NFC, and just seeds and spots around the NFC playoff picture as well. The Vikings, behind a career day from Sam Darnold, outlast Green Bay 27-25 at home in Minneapolis. They close it just a minus 112 price, Scott, as a very slight favorite on that money line. So they cover the number. Over 48.5 as well. Make it 9 consecutive wins for this Vikings team. 11-2-1 against the spread in the 14 victories for the Vikings this year. And Scott, as I said, behind a career day from Sam Darnold, 377 yards. That a career high for Sammy D. 3 touchdowns, albeit with an interception. But was masterful, yes, once again in Minneapolis against the Packers on Sunday.
Yeah, a couple things with this game, Ben. First off, I was surprised Minnesota was basically pick a minus 1, 1.5. And as you said, by game time, it basically was pick a, right? I mean, has there been a team that has been, you know, 13-2 heading into yesterday's game? 13-2, 1-8 in a row, playing at home. Taking on a, not second, but technically third, you know, place team in Green Bay, albeit a pretty good team, and yet got slighted so much by the boys in Vegas. You know, I don't know if it's Sam Darnold or the Viking defense, the secondary. I don't know what it is, but there really is a lack of respect for this Minnesota team. Now, they end up only winning by 2, but they really dominated that game outside of the fourth quarter. Yeah. So, but it does bring up the other issue, you know. It just brings up a pet peeve of mine. You know, we talk about it all the time. I don't understand it. I just don't. You know, Packers make this great comeback. They cut the lead to 2. There's 2 minutes and change left to go. I understand they have 3 timeouts. I understand you still got the 2-minute warning, and Minnesota would have to get 2 first downs, but it's still a Viking offense that is pretty darn good, and Green Bay likes to kick the ball deep and forego an onside kick. I'll just never understand that, man. I know it's only 5, 6, 7% you're going to convert on those things, but I always say, ask Minnesota, as Green Bay has scored back-to-back touchdowns, they have all the momentum in the world. You ask Minnesota, do you want the ball kicked to you deep, or do you want Green Bay to do an onside kick? And I guarantee you, every single Minnesota coach will say, kick the ball deep. And for that reason alone, I'm doing an onside kick. If you don't recover, that's okay. You could still force Minnesota 3-and-out. You could still get the ball back. You only need a field goal. So it's not like you got to go the length of the field for a touchdown. Why would you ever give up even the slightest opportunity to recover an onside kick because you want to get greedy and get the ball eventually, you know, around your own 40-yard line versus maybe your own 20-yard line? It's just, and like we see time after time after time, Packers kick the ball deep. Do they ever get the ball again? No, they don't. Minnesota does the right thing. They get 2 first downs. Ball game over. I just, doesn't make sense to me. kicking the ball deep in that situation. Just doesn't.
Right. It is difficult, especially now with the new rules, to recover that onside kick. But Scott, to your point, it is sound. And the Vikings did take advantage. A short pass that was a little bit more difficult than maybe necessary to Cam Akers, but the Minnesota backup running back does make the grab, tumbles down to the turf, and that was the winner for Minnesota. Aaron Jones did leave the game against his former team with a quad contusion late in that second half, but does expect to play for a huge game week 18. We will discuss. Scott, when you look at Sam Darnold, as we mentioned, Minnesota has won 9 consecutive games, 14-2 entering week 18. The best cover team in the NFL, 11-4-1 ATS overall this year, but in those 14 wins, 11-2-1 against the number. Sam Darnold, 377 yards, 3 touchdowns yesterday. In the last 7 games for Minnesota, he has had at least 18 touchdowns to 2 INTs. He has been incredibly efficient, and it's a big reason Minnesota will play for the NFC North and the number 1 seed in the NFC in the final regular season finale game of them all. Game 272 of 272, Sunday night, week 18, against the Detroit Lions in the Motor City. A game that will determine so much around the NFC playoff picture. Who wins the division in the NFC North? Who wins the 1 seed in the NFC? Who is the top at-large wildcard team in the 5 spot in the NFC playoff bracket? Scott, when you think about Week 18 games, it does not get much better than that. In fact, it is the first time since 1993 that a number 1 seed within a conference will be on the line more than 3 decades. And Scott, let's take it one step further for the historic perspective for the Sunday night regular season finale between the Lions and the Vikings. It is the most wins combined between 2 teams we have ever seen in the history of a regular season game in the National Football League. As good as it gets on Sunday night in the Motor City.
Yeah, that's one of those stats, Ben. I get it. Now we got 1 more game, you know, than we normally have had, and then we got to go back to 14 games and all that other stuff. But you tell me there's not been another game in which, you know, 2 teams have had similar records. I find that amazing. I don't doubt it, I kind of do doubt it, but I don't like question it like it's wrong.
Yeah,
it's just really amazing, right? So, you know, and normally you get 2 teams that have already clinched playoff spots. You know, you play the last game of the regular season, you poo poo it. Fans care, but the players don't. But this one, as you outlined, this has got huge ramifications, right? I could see Detroit losing the game and still being able to get to the Super Bowl. I don't know about Minnesota. Give me Minnesota at home with the number 1 seed, only having to face now 2 games, and that's really the biggest difference, right? You lose, not only aren't you getting home field advantage, you're playing 3 games. Winner gets the number 1 seed, gets to play 2 games, and both of those theoretically would be at home if you won the first game. So I think Detroit could muster that. I don't know about Minnesota being able to win 3 times on the road.
Yeah, home field advantage throughout the entirety of the NFC postseason would be critical. Scott, entering week 18, the Lions a 2-1 favorite to win the NFC. The Eagles, who we'll talk about in just a moment, second best price, plus 360. The Vikings, plus 380, only 20 cents back. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So many playoff possibilities and clinching scenarios in week number 17 around the NFL. We continue to recap it for you all across the weekend here on Football Full Circle. Scott, on Sunday in Philadelphia, the Eagles hosted the Cowboys without Jalen Hurts and then without Kenny Pickett for a good majority of the second half. It turned out not really to matter as the Birds absolutely blow out the boys 41-7. Philly easily covers as a 7.5-point home favorite. A total of 37 and a hook does sky over. Another historic day for Saquon Barkley. We'll talk about that in just a moment. When Kenny Pickett was in there, he threw a touchdown pass after he was injured, still dealing with a rib injury that he entered the weekend with. Tanner McKee, came in for his first regular season career snaps in his NFL career and threw two touchdowns as well. With the victory, Philadelphia clinches the two seed, or it has a shot of being in line for that two seed, but more than likely and absolutely has clinched the NFC East divisional crown for a second time in the last three seasons. Big win for Philadelphia on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they got the number two seed. That's set in stone with the Rams being the number three seed at 10-6, and then Tampa Bay or Atlanta being the number four seed. So I wonder if we get more Tanner McKee. You know, I mean, even if Jalen Hurts is healthy enough to play, I could see them easily saying, let's give him another week. And then you don't necessarily really want to risk Kenny Pickett, right? So, you know, maybe against the Giants, a worthless game for them outside of the Barkley stuff, maybe you get Tanner McKee this weekend. But they did look good. I tell you, a lot of people thought that the Cowboys would have a chance. They've been playing much better of late to go into Philadelphia and win that game. But, you know, for the most part, that was over from start to finish. So nice job by Philadelphia. You got to get Hurts healthy. You know, if so, then, you know, maybe with all this drama in the NFC North, maybe that's taken away from Philadelphia here a little bit. That might help them in the long run. I still think they're a dangerous team with a healthy Jalen Hurts. So, but nice job by Philadelphia. That was kind of like a statement win, even if it wasn't with Jalen in there.
And Jalen's still in concussion protocol entering week 17, even if he gets out of it for week 18 in a game that will not have a lot of significance hosting the New York Giants. We do not expect to see Hurts. We might not see Pickett to Scott's, as he stated right there. But Scott, when you look at that game as well for Philadelphia, you are correct. They clinched the number two seed and the NFC East. They cannot get the one seed now, as Minnesota did beat Green Bay. It will be the matchup, of course, as we shared, to end out the regular season in Detroit. But might we see a couple other starters next weekend for Philadelphia hosting the New York Giants? The Eagles right now a 3.5-point home favorite, which would be a much larger line, of course, if everybody was playing. But the reason I ask, Scott, is because 31 carries, 167 yards for Saquon Barkley, becoming the ninth player ever to rush for more than 2,000 yards in a single season in the NFL. He is now just 101 yards away from breaking Eric Dickerson's single season rushing yards record set back in 1984. 100 to match, 101 to set the new record. Scott, do you think we see Saquon Barkley in week 18? Should he play in week 18 for the Eagles?
Yeah, yes and yes. No doubt we're going to see him, you know, because they had him running the ball in the fourth quarter against Dallas in a 41-7 game. So there's no two ways about it. He's going to be trying for the record. And there's no doubt in my mind he's going to get that. That was a prop that we brought up about 4 weeks ago. FanDuel and company were offering it 5.5 to 1, whether he'd set the record. I don't doubt it for a second. And if he's playing, then you know the offensive line wants to play. And I get it. Listen, I can see the offensive line taking as much pride in that as Saquon, right? I mean, if you're an offensive lineman, that's, you know, sure, you look for little things like this. You don't have stats. You don't have things like that you point to. But to say to yourself, hey, I was the offensive starting guard or tackle, center, whatever the case may be, for a team slash player that set the all-time single-season rushing mark, that's a really – to kind of like throw that away, you know, with a reasonable number to get to 101 yards, I'd be very surprised, Ben, if they all didn't play. I really would.
So much to get to around the NFC as well. As we share, the Lions are the favorites at a 2-1 number. Philadelphia's second best price at plus 360, but now only 20 cents in front of Minnesota. Currently, Washington would be the sixth seed in the NFC. Green Bay, with the loss to the Vikings, would be slotted in seven. Very important, depending on what happens in the final weekend of the regular season, because if you're the seventh seed, you head to Philadelphia to start off the postseason. If you're the sixth, it could be the Rams or the Bucks. We'll talk about LA up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
In week 17 around the National Football League, it wasn't just a Sunday slate, but a triple header of games on Saturday that had direct implications to the playoff chase around the NFL. And then with some results on Sunday, some things were figured and ironed out around the NFC postseason picture. Most namely, Scott, for the Los Angeles Rams, who held on in a defensive struggle against the Arizona Cardinals on Saturday night in SoFi to win 13-9. Arizona did cover as a 6.5-point road underdog. A total of 47 and a hook stays well under. The Rams were actually outgained offensively in terms of yardage by nearly 140, but still held on for a victory with an interception of Kyler Murray on a ball that was popped up into the air under a minute remaining when Arizona had it first and goal from LA's 5-yard line. So the Rams beat the Cardinals, and because Washington beat Atlanta, that gives the Rams the strength of record tiebreaker. So they clinch the NFC West with the help of Washington on Sunday night. The Rams got started 1-4 this season, the opening month and a half for Los Angeles, defined by a litany of injuries. They have won nine of their last 11 games to clinch a divisional crown in the NFC West before we even get to the regular season finale weekend.
Yeah, you know, I'll trust them, Ben, but I don't know how with a week left you could already have the convincing strength of schedule. I mean, you have all these games that, you know, aren't there that many games where all those teams could lose, but somehow or another the Rams that have clinched it. It is weird, though, how football is, right? We think of the Rams, and we think of that 44-42 win over the Buffalo Bills. Great game, right? Oh, my goodness, this is the Rams team we all feared. And while they've continued to win, since that game, they've yet to score 20 points in three games, 12, 19, and 13. I mean, you look at that 44-point performance and you say, boy, that's the team that everyone fears to face. Yet, you know, in the three games since then, for whatever reason, they haven't been able to crack 20. Again, winning. And the defense, how do you go from giving up 42 points in one game to not allowing 10 in any of the next three? So it's who are the real LA Rams? Is it the goofy game against the Bills, or is it these last three games where the defense has stepped up? Very strange team.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Scott. You could also look at it from the perspective of, hey, good teams find different ways to win in a variety of games. We know the Rams at their best offensively can be the team we saw against Buffalo nearly a month ago. But defensively in that game, it was like, ooh, this young defense might get shredded by everybody else they play. To your point, they've allowed 9-9-6 in the three games since that victory over the Buffalo Bills. But a resilient group that, much like last year, winning 6 of their final 8 to earn a playoff berth, now has won 9 of their last 11 to claim the NFC West, and they will host a playoff game. Scott, there still is a chance if the Buccaneers win this upcoming weekend in week 18 and the Rams were to lose their regular season finale against the Seahawks, which they don't necessarily need to win the division right now. Tampa would be the 3 seed in the NFC because of a better conference record than that of LA. The Rams, a 3-point dog against Seattle, because again, they don't need that game. And we expect Sean McVay to rest a lot of his starters. The Buccaneers are over a 2-touchdown favorite against a bad New Orleans team because they need to win the game just to win the division within the NFC South. That could change a few things in terms of the playoff picture. Scott, it wasn't just the playoff pictures around the NFL that had some stakes on Sunday. It was also who wants to have the number one overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft. The New York Giants, not really in the running to have, or at least not controlling the destiny of that first overall selection after they beat the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday afternoon, 45-33. Scott, one of those rare occasions where both teams are really PO'd by the result of the game, or at least I should say the fan bases. Indianapolis needed to win to stay alive in the playoff chase. They are now eliminated after losing as more than a touchdown favorite in New York. The Giants win their first home game in MetLife in the year 2024, but now no longer control that number one overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get the owner, I suppose. I get the GM who may be on his way out. I get the head coach who may be on his way out. And I get the players, you know, for the most part, maybe on their way out wanting to win. I'm going to throw it back into the fans' faces. What are 60-plus thousand fans doing at Giant Stadium cheering their team on to a victory? I mean, what did they accomplish? And they did this last year, Ben, when they won three of their last six with Tommy Cutlets. You know, that cost them a chance to draft Jalen Daniels, because one of the losses they had was against, or one of the wins they had was against Washington. So you just saw this play out last year. I know the season's been long. It's been horrible. I get all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, why are the Giant fans cheering this team up? What did you when you woke up this morning and the New York Giants had three wins versus two? Did that make you get out of bed faster? Did it make you feel better because they beat an Indianapolis Colts team that stinks? I don't get the fans cheering them on. Like I said, I'll accept the players. But I really do wonder somewhere along the line if the owner, the Maras, you know, and we saw that video clip of them with the Barkley situation, right, in the preseason with Hard Knocks. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't they go to the GM and head coach and just say, listen, guys, it's been a long season. It's been a long, long season, but we're in the driver's seat now. You know, if we don't win these last two games, it's not the end of the world. I mean, they're not stupid, right? The whole world's talking about the draft order. So they have to know they control their own destiny. Boy, the NFL has done a great job. I mean, just a great job. You look at the teams that won yesterday, some of them, you know, whether it's Jacksonville. Now, someone had to win Jacksonville, Tennessee. Raiders win again. Giant. I mean, what did they accomplish? But the NFL's been able to sell on winning all these games down the stretch, even though they're worthless games. And it really hurts you. It hurts you more to win than it does to lose. It really does at this point. So,
got the Jags. Yeah. They pick up their fourth win of the year, do the Jaguars over the Titans. Tennessee still has a hope of being the number one overall pick. The Titans making history, but for all the wrong reasons. 2-14 now for the Titans this year against the spread. The worst cover team we have seen in the Super Bowl era in the history of the National Football League. The Jags, somehow, some way, Scott, they've won four games this season. They have covered in seven of their last 10, despite it seeming like a long time ago Doug Peterson saw the writing on the wall. I guess for the Raiders, who've now won two straight, they've won two straight against teams that also were already eliminated from playoff contention and as a slight favorite. So there's that for Las Vegas, who went to the Big Easy and won 25-10 against Spencer Rattler and the Saints. But now the Raiders can't get the number one overall pick. The Giants still have a chance. But Scott, even in a failure of a season, the Giants can't fail in the right way. They can't lose when they should. They can't make a bad situation better. They make it even worse. Drew Lock, a generational game, more than 300 passing yards, 5 total touchdowns. Malik Nabers, he had a bright rookie season and a very bright future. 7 grabs, 171 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But Malik, maybe go down because you want a new guy throwing you the football next year that you can trust. Scott, it really does stink for the Giants fan base and for anybody that has any love for the G-Men, because you cost yourself the shot of having that number one overall pick. And everybody's going to say, well, the players are professionals. They show up day in, day out to win football games. There is no doubt about it. You can't discredit them for doing so. But the implications of games in the NFL and what it means for the future, it's all part of the conversation as well.
Yeah, you do what the Cleveland Browns do, right? I mean, again, you don't expect the players not to try, because, you know, half of them are worried about being on the team next year. But you tell me, with a straight face, the Cleveland Browns have a better chance of winning a game with Dorian Thompson-Robinson at quarterback than Jameis Winston. No way. He stinks. But you play him, and you lose the game that way. That's how you do it.
And you lost it handily. We'll talk about the Dolphins staying alive in the AFC playoff picture and those wild card contenders next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We've talked a lot about the NFC playoff picture on Football Full Circle. Now over to the AFC. Scott, it got started on Saturday with the Chargers on the road in New England with a victory for the Bolts. in Jim Harbaugh's first year in L.A., the Chargers earn a playoff berth, and that's exactly what Los Angeles accomplished, routing the Patriots 40-7 in Foxborough, covering as a 5.5-point favorite, a total of 41.5. L.A. almost goes over by themselves. And, Scott, it was good news not only for the Chargers to earn that playoff bid, but also to see J.K. Dobbins back in the lineup, 76 rushing yards and a touchdown in his first game since the end of November. And the connection between Justin Herbert and his rookie wideout in Ladd McConkey seems to be very prolific entering the postseason. The Chargers will be in the playoffs in Jim Harbaugh's first year.
Yeah, that's a great accomplishment considering, you know, what they started with this season. And the expectations really were kind of like, you know, who knows what they're going to be any good, getting rid of all their wide receivers and everything else. So nice job. I did like them Saturday. I thought for sure they were going to win. This is the type of year where I don't really worry about where the game is being played. Home field advantage to me is thrown out the window when you get these teams that are playing for absolutely nothing as New England was. Yeah. So they're a dangerous team, right? I mean, could they really upset Buffalo or Baltimore? Nah, probably not. Somehow or another, they could squeeze their way into a game against Houston, you know, down the line. I think they could certainly beat them. I don't think they could beat the Chiefs, but right now they're just playing with house money. But they are, you know, on paper with Herbert and the running game, you know, McConkey's, you know, too bad for McConkey this year with the quarterbacks doing so well. Otherwise, he'd be really seriously considered for Rookie of the Year, yeah. But he's a really good wide receiver. It's like night and day when he's in there versus when he's not in there for the Chargers offense. So, but that's a, you know, it's a good team. Like I said, they're kind of like Denver or Miami who ends up getting in. Nice to get in, but I don't think they're seriously going to be, you know, challenging for a Super Bowl appearance.
Could potentially be an important Week 18 game for LA against Las Vegas. Because if they could move up the standings to the 5 spot, they are currently the 6th seed in front of Pittsburgh. The Steelers have the head-to-head tiebreak against LA. The Chargers would go to Houston to take on the Texans and would not have to go to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. A much more desirable, at least on paper, opening round matchup in the NFL postseason. And the Steelers, Scott, are not favored to win the regular season finale because they'll be taking on a Bengals team on Saturday night. Where if Cincinnati wins, it puts a lot of pressure on the Denver Broncos to win on Sunday. Why? The Bengals beat the Broncos on Saturday afternoon in Week 17. What a game it was. Wild at the end. 3-24 since he prevails in that extra session. But the Bengals had a touchdown lead midway through the fourth quarter. Multiple. Two touchdown leads that they had. And both times, Bo Nix connected with Marvin Mims from deep out to tie the game. First with about 8 minutes remaining in regulation, that made it 17-all. Joe Burrow and the Bengals take a lead 24-17. And Scott, with just about 10 seconds remaining in regulation, Nix connects with Marvin Mims again on 4th-and-1 from the 25-yard line to send the game to OT. In overtime, both teams got the ball on their opening possession, didn't do anything with it. The Bengals get it back, the third possession in OT. They drive the length of the field. They set up Cade York, their backup kicker, for a chip shot PAT length field goal from 33 yards out. He clanks it off the left upright. The Broncos get the ball back. Even with a tie, they advance to the postseason. They're unable to hold on to the ball, and the Bengals, then they leave no doubt. Joe Burrow connects with T. Higgins. For the third time, all three touchdowns Burrow threw into the arms of Higgins since he wins 30-24 in OT. The Bengals keeping some hope in the playoff chase, keeping the Broncos from clinching a spot, which Denver would have been able to do with a victory in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, and I think that the Denver tie helping them, you know, kind of cost them a little bit because they went a little conservative when they got the ball back with 2.5 and change when Cincinnati missed that field goal. So it looked like, okay, let's play for a tie and we'll get out of this thing and we'll make the playoffs win. In reality, they should have been a little bit more aggressive. So it's still a tough road for Cincinnati. I think when everything is said and done, I think the Dolphins, and I know I'm a Dolphin fan. I'm not saying this because I'm a Dolphin fan. I think the Dolphins get in. I really do. They got the Jets. Jets did play them tough. I don't know what the Aaron Rodgers situation is going to be like, but I think they beat the Jets at home, whether it's with Tua or without. And then I think Denver loses to Kansas City. I know the Chiefs are playing for nothing, but they got Carson Wentz. veteran backup quarterback. You know, he can get the job done. They have the week off after that, so I expect a lot of the starters to play at least a half. I don't think Andy Reid would keep these guys out and then literally have 3 weeks off. So I expect the Chiefs team with only one loss to play for a little something. I think that could happen. I really do. And if that's the case, then Miami gets in. Tough for Cincinnati to get in because you need the Jets to beat the Dolphins and have, you know, Cincinnati or and have Denver lose. But I think Miami gets in, to tell you the truth.
And that's how it would stand right now, despite the Bengals beating the Broncos, the team they needed to even keep hopes alive for a playoff run. Miami wins the tiebreaker against Cincinnati because of a better conference record. And the reason that was the case, even without Tua Tagovailoa, Tyler Huntley leads the Dolphins to a win in Cleveland 20-3 on Sunday afternoon. Miami covers as a 3.5-point road favorite. A total of 32.5 stays under. But Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Cleveland does not have much. But Snoop Huntley was really good, Scott. 225 and a touchdown. Only 4 incompletions. Also was Miami's leading rusher. 52 yards on the ground and another score to keep the Dolphins afloat in that playoff chase. Tua Tagovailoa missed the game with a hip injury. We'll see what his status is for week 18. But Miami in MetLife, 2.5-point road favorite as it stands currently for week number 18.
Yeah. You know, each team's going to have at least one game, Ben, you're going to circle back to and say, man, you know, we didn't make the playoffs because of that, because of this. The Bengals, you know, you're going to have to go all the way back to week number one, you know, and no, they lost. Not only did they lose to a 3-win New England Patriot team, they lost to them at home. That's the one that's going to kill them. And if the Dolphins don't get in, it's going to be a home loss against Arizona 4 weeks ago.
A touchdown favorite in that season opener for Cincy as well. The rest of the playoff picture, everything else from the Week 17 weekend around the National Football League, it comes your way next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
The final few games for the Week 17 slate around the National Football League to set the stage for Week 18 and the regular season finale in the NFL. Scott, Buffalo understood that entering its game against the New York Jets in Week 17, they could no longer be in the running for that one seed in the AFC. The Chiefs taking that down on Christmas Day in the Steel City. But with a victory over the Jets, Buffalo clinches the number 2 seed in the AFC. And that's what Buffalo did in a big way, winning 40-14 at home in Western New York. Covering is a 9.5-point favorite, going over a total of 44.5. So the Bills will be the 2 seed in the AFC. They will at least host one, if not 2 games in Western New York and Orchard Park as they look to get back to the AFC Championship for the first time since 2020. The final score, Scott, even with the Jets scoring 2 touchdowns, not truly indicative of the route. Buffalo was blanking New York for the entirety of the game until Aaron Rodgers was benched in favor of Tyrod Taylor, who tossed 2 touchdowns. Buffalo, 13th win of the season, and a big one, Scott, to claim that 2 seed in the AFC.
And if you're the Bills, Ben, and if you had your druthers, who would you rather face in the first round? Cincinnati, Miami, or Denver? I think I would choose Denver just because it's the rookie quarterback, then Miami, and I probably want no part of Cincinnati the way their offense is playing, right?
Yeah, I would agree. Since he's at the bottom of the list, the Bills have had the Dolphins' number, even with Tua Tagovailoa. We'll see about his health for Week 18 and beyond. I think the Broncos are probably that team you would elect to play. The Bengals are a dangerous team, though, Scott. They can't stop anybody in the most critical moments defensively, but with how good Joe Burrow has been, you don't really want to see them if they were to earn that playoff spot. Josh Allen, though, still the hefty favorite to win NFL MVP at -320 after Sunday's effort. Only 182 passing yards, but 2 passing scores, another one on the ground, 3 total touchdowns, 41 total touchdowns this year, 40-plus total touchdowns in 5 consecutive seasons. The first ever NFL player to do that in league history. So Buffalo's feeling good. Scott, I think when you look at it now for the New York Jets, the Aaron Rodgers experiment has to be over. 112 yards, 2 interceptions. We know that it's 14 consecutive years now, 4 gangrene without making the postseason. Longest active drought by a long, long way in the NFL. Make it 7 of those 14 years. So half of this decade and a half nearly long drought of missing the playoffs, the Jets are going to end up with 5 wins or fewer. I mean, it's as bad as your worst nightmare could have been when you acquired Aaron Rodgers back in March of 2023.
Yeah, just the antithesis of what you were expecting, right? Just completely. Yeah. Does he play next week? You know, I know he's got this thing about playing every game, so probably, but performance-wise, does he deserve it? You know, probably not. You know, I tell you, with the Buffalo Bills, Ben, you look at that line for next week's game, minus only 3 at New England, with Josh Allen in the MVP race. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bills saying they're going to play him for at least a half, just to put some more numbers up on the board. And then speaking of MVP, we were talking a little bit about this yesterday at In Game Live. You know, if the Bengals were to make the playoffs and everything fall the right way, who's got the most passing yards in the NFL? Joe Burrow. Who's got the most passing touchdowns in the NFL? Joe Burrow. Who's got the second fewest interceptions in the NFL from a starter that's played all the games? Joey B. You know, he's almost hitting the triple crown for quarterbacks. I don't think he's going to win it, but I tell you what, you know, I know people have been buzzing a little bit, but he might get a little bit more credit than just Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson if the Bengals can make the playoffs.
Yeah, if they can, Scott, there is no doubt. If the Bengals were an 11-win football team, there would be zero doubt that Joe Burrow would win the NFL MVP award. But Josh Allen and his 13-3 Bills, with Allen making history in numerous different games this season, will probably win the award, at least what the odds makers anticipate at this moment. So a lot to figure out in week number 18. Not necessarily all that many spots available still in the NFC or AFC playoff picture, but seed lines and all of that will be determined in the regular season finale weekend around the National Football League. And again, Scott, 272, that game, Detroit and Minnesota, as good as it gets to end out a regular season in the NFL.
Yep, looking forward to that one, and looking forward to see if Saquon Barkley sets the all-time record against the Giants. That should be a lot of fun.
Individual stakes, team stakes, all that will go in to week 18 in the NFL. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Thanks for tuning in to Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.